And welcome to the Taylor Report.
CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. We're going to talk about Martin Luther King today and about North Korea and the meeting taking place in Vancouver tomorrow. I understand that our defense ministers are having dinner tonight. That should make everybody rest easy. And I'll tell you right now that at 6:30 today, this evening, right after this show, as a matter of fact, there's going to be a meeting at 777 Bathurst, a different book list, where there's going to be a discussion of Martin's Day and the founders of Martin's Day, and one of whom is a very dear friend of ours, and actually they both were. I want to get to make sure I get all the names right, but they're going to be remembering Martin's Day, of course, Martin Luther King, and Hugo. That's what I get for Extravore. I knew Hugo, by the way, but there's a problem with knowing people and you sort of know them as Hugo. Hugo Extravore and his daughter Erica is going to be talking tonight, and the daughter of Charles Roach, Sunset Roach, is going to be speaking. And they're talking about Charles Roach and Hugo Extravore as the founders of Martin's Day in Toronto. Very, very important development in Toronto's struggle against racism and also Pan-Africanism. Charles Roach was I knew to be very active in that struggle. And we'll be talking with Otis Richmond. And we might even play a little bit of Duke Ellington. We haven't yet reached Otis, but we will continue to try. And on the matter of the second part of the show, 5:30, we will be speaking with Stephen Gowans, gowans.wordpress.com. And we're going to talk about, of course, this upcoming meeting. And I had some things I wanted to make sure to say. We spoke last week with Chris Black, a Toronto lawyer who's practiced in international law on the matter of war crimes, et cetera, at the International Criminal Tribunal in Yugoslavia and also the one established in Tanzania for Rwanda. And Chris has studied these things closely. And we struck a note there last week, which I hope we will get at today, because since that conversation with Chris Black, I think it's become more and more clear what this meeting is actually about. They say 20 countries are coming, 11 foreign ministers, and there's two things that they say about it which are troubling. The first one is that it's a gathering together of those countries that participated in the Korean War, and that has a kind of a cast to it. And then the second element, which is today's headline in the Globe and Mail and also the Toronto Star, not that they work so closely together, but they both are putting across the point of Canada's perhaps role in interdicting ships that could be stopped at sea, allegedly because they might be breaking the sanctions that have been imposed on North Korea. And that is very dicey territory, legally and militarily. And I think that, I bet Chris Black would agree, that we better start talking about how dangerous and how foolish and how illegal that is. And we will try to get into that with, of course, Stephen Gowans. But we want to underline it right now at the top to say this is not what this conference, not what the Canadian people should want. We'll also ask the question, and it becomes an editorial to even talk about it, but who convened this meeting? Whose idea was it? And I suggest the idea did not come from our foreign minister, Chrystia Freeland, because she would not dare call a meeting with an American where she and the Americans would be leading the meeting without first checking with Washington as whether it was a good idea. So it seems to be a cabal, and it seems to have ugly intentions, dangerous intentions. The Globe and Mail reporting today was, you could say, I guess, marvelously paradoxical, full of contradictory thoughts. They bring into it the South Koreans, and the South Koreans are quoted as saying, oh, well, that's a good idea. We have to enforce the sanctions. But then they say further, we need dialogue. And there's two countries that will not be present. One of them was not invited, Russia. The other one was invited, but I'd love to have seen the invitation. My guess is it said, if you got the time, if you feel like coming, wouldn't hurt our feelings if you didn't show up. Anyway, China has said that it not going to come because the concept of the meeting is not productive. And the Chinese said very clearly, you need dialogue. Notice the echo. The South Koreans say you need dialogue. And indeed, they're engaging in dialogue at this very moment with North Korea. Then the Globe tells us that that Mr. Mattis, the ex-Marine, pardon me, the Marine, because there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, but anyhow, the Marine Mattis, and the Secretary of State, Tillerson, are doing this because they're trying to hold off the war hawks in the White House. This is a sort of a ploy to deal with war hawks. So we're in Dr. Strangelove country when we're being told this by the Globe and Mail that one of the reasons that they're pretending that they'd like to talk is to take ease the madness in the American White House. Which might bring on a quote, and the Globe and Mail again used the word preemptive strikes. Again, I refer you to Dr. Strangelove. There isn't really a better scientific, political analysis of what is taking place, in my opinion, than the movie written by Terry Southern, Dr. Strangelove, because today's reporting in the Globe is Strangelovian. You would say that if you have diplomats, you just bring them together and they say, as diplomats do, we're looking for a reasonable solution to our differences with North Korea. You don't say, we're getting together those who fought with North Korea. And we are doing this because some people in our crowd are thinking of preemptive strikes. That isn't diplomacy. That is Mad Hatter territory. And so with that note, I think we'll just finish that thought, which is that when we talk to Stephen Cowens at 5:30, we're going to get into this thing of who is really responsible for this mess. And I think the needle is going to end up pointing at Washington. And listeners of the Taylor Report are not going to be surprised. But that's because they belong to the rational generation.